Asked the girl what she wanted to be. Rock and roll. She said, baby, can't you see? I want to be famous. I know the story of this song. But you can do something. Wake up, everybody. Baby, you can drive my car. And stay tuned. And baby, I love you. I told that girl that my prospects were good. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belts. Said,
baby, morning, Bo.
How are you?
Great.
Pretty good music, huh?
Reminds me of when we went to see the guy.
Yeah, that was. It's been a good stretch here. We've had a lot of incredible musicians come through town, but we're kind of old Beatles guys. And the program is you get the blessing, so we bless you with a little rock and roll first and then a great guest every week. But so remember how McCartney and Lennon, they say, would have appointments to write music?
Yes.
And each one was supposed to bring a hook line. Okay, you bring the theme, the hook line, the idea. And McCartney, it was McCartney's turn, supposedly. He drove up. Or his driver drove up, and he had nothing that day. But as he was leaving the car, he thought, well, there's my limo driver, and I could start with that. I think that's the origin of that song, but could be off. And this could be information you don't want to learn.
That's right. That's right. Someone might be thinking, is this what I really want to wake up to
yes,
on Sunday morning?
Don't turn us off. Our guest today is Tommy Spaulding. Tommy, welcome aboard.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. How did we meet? Jerry Middle?
Jerry Middle and Paul Lawan.
Oh, wow.
Connected me with you.
There's two great guys. I hope they're listening. Paul, get out of the shower, pal. Get back on the side of the bed and listen to this program. Paul Lawan, man.
By the way, if you remember, we're sitting in our seats watching Paul McCartney, and suddenly this card gets handed down the line. Here, pass this down to Bo Mitchell, and you get the card, and it was Tommy.
Yeah.
And,
hey, I'm on your show tomorrow.
I'm going to be on your show.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad we...
passing love notes at the Paul McCartney concert.
Very good. And you've got an interesting life, and we've got a short time to learn about it. So tell us where you grew up and what it was like around your home as a kid. And if we were sitting in your family room watching little Tommy run around at 5, 6, 8 years old, what would it have felt like?
Well, my dad's a school teacher, and my mom's a school teacher. My sister married a school teacher. She's a school teacher. All my cousins became school teachers.
So everybody been reading and studying?
Is that what you're... Aunts and uncles, school teachers. And, you know, I grew up kind of wanting to be a school teacher, but the reality was is as I pretty much graduated the bottom of my class, I'm completely dyslexic, and I can't read very well. And failed grades, went to summer school, and when I graduated high school, I watched my friends graduate magna cum laude and summa cum laude. I graduated high school, thank God almighty cum laude. I mean, I really just graduated at the bottom of my class.
You've never said that line before,
yeah,
have you either?
No. And I remember...
So it just didn't come easy
for
you, and you did have some learning disability.
Yeah, but I was a good kid. You know, I was a class president, Eagle Scout, and, you know, clean-cut kid. My parents were teachers in the school district and church-going, grew up Catholic and good kid, but grades were really tough for me. And I had a really encouraging parents. My father was incredibly loving and genuine and sincere, and he always encouraged me that I was to make a contribution in the world. And it wasn't about your GPA or SAT score. It was about, you know, the love that you have for other people and how you build genuine relationships. So at a very young age, I learned about those values.
And he's speaking that truth into you.
Yeah, sir. Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it, how powerful the words we use as parents on our children. Like even my son, Andy, I remember as a five-year-old, I started introducing him to everybody as, this is my son, Andy. He's the finest athlete in his age group in the world, as far as we know. And he'd just look up at people like, y'all clear on the facts there? It's true, though, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it's great.
So good words coming from your parents. And...
Yeah, yeah. When I was a senior in high school, obviously I wanted to go to college like all my other friends. And so I went to see Mr. Tilton. He's my guidance counselor. And he opened up the drawer. I'll never forget this. He had this wavy curly hair and this plaid tie and checkered suit, like, you know, in the 80s. And he reached in my folder, looked at my class rank, and I pretty much graduated top bottom of my class. And my GPA was a 1.9. You needed a 2.0 to graduate. And my SAT was a 640. And you, that's pretty bad. You get like a 600 for writing your name on the test. It's pretty bad. So he looked
1.9, though. You're almost eligible to play sports.
Exactly. So he looked at me and he said, you know, you're a good kid, Tommy, and you're class president and you're a leader in the school, but, you know, college really isn't for you. And so he handed me a brochure called BOCES, which is trade, like electrician, carpentry, trade school, and said, this is more up your alley. And I went home and showed that brochure to my parents, and I made the dumbest decision in my life is I listened to him. And so that's where I was headed to after I graduated high school.
Now, wait a minute. This sounds like the movie Rudy.
Very much so.
They all said to Rudy Rudiger, who's a pretty good friend of mine.
He's my hero.
You can't do this,
yeah.
Rudy.
But
Notre Dame's not for Rudigers.
Not for Rudy. I never went to Notre Dame, but a group called Up With People came to my high school my senior year. And I was, you know, trade school destined, or, you know, junior college destined. And Up With People performed my senior year, and I went to see the show. And that was the organization that changed my life. I saw this,
you know, energy. Show,
about 120 different young people from all over the world, and, you know, the really gorgeous Swedes on stage didn't, you know, helped a little bit. But,
that's why half the guys go to Young Life Club.
Exactly.
Get a date.
But, you know, I grew up in upstate New York. I never traveled. We went to Disney World and Cape Cod once, but I never left the country. I didn't have a passport. But the thought of being 17 years old to travel over the world, live at host families and do community service and meet people that are different than me. And I signed up after the show and interviewed. Yeah, I interviewed. And I didn't play much of an instrument, but, you know, but people, they really look for people that just want to, you know, give back and serve. And so I got a letter a couple months later, right before I graduated, that I was accepted to other people. They didn't ask for my GPA, my SAT. They just want to know if I was ready to serve the world. So I spent 4 years with them. I traveled to 80 countries, and I lived in 3,000 host families all over the world.
By the way, you're listening to the voice of Tommy Spaulding, our guest today on You Get the Blessing, and we're hearing a little about his background. So keep going. Up With People, four years. That is very
wonderful. It just transformed my life. And not just traveling over the world and seeing the world, but living with families and meeting people that are Jewish, that are Muslim, that are Christian, that are gay, that are straight, that are communist, that are capitalist. And
tell our listeners what Up With People sort of does.
Up With People is an international global organization that brings young people 18 to 29 all over the world. They spend a year of their life traveling around the world, living with host families, doing community service, and they perform a musical show. We did 4 halftime shows in the Super Bowl in the 80s and Olympic opening ceremonies. It was a huge...
Here, let me help people identify with this. Up, up with people, you meet them wherever you go. Isn't that kind of the thing?
That's it.
See? Very good.
Yeah, I got a lot of lyrics up here that no one wants to hear.
Yeah.
So you did that for 4 years. That is really cool. Yeah. And that turned everything around.
It was the turning point. And I knew then that I wanted to, you know, serve the world and live my life a little differently. I did eventually go to college and business school and all that kind of stuff. But Up With People was the organization that taught me how to serve and love people and make a contribution.
So if your parents are listening and you're thinking, what should I push my kids towards or introduce them to? I say everything. Sports, what's wrong with that? Which sport? All of them. You don't know. Your kid may be able to throw it through a brick wall. He may be able to shoot it through a hoop. He may be able to kick it down the field. Just let them play. Have fun. And you never know when they're going to be sitting somewhere exposed to a musical group, watching people on stage like Tommy Spaulding was, and think, I want to do that right there. So good for you. What got you there that night? Can you remember?
My mom.
She did?
She took my ear and tried to drag me there.
You're
going to come see this show. Well, I'll never forget that night. I just watched on stage and said, I got to do that. And that was one of those transforming years that when I got done with that program.
I don't know why this popped in my head, but Johnny Bench, who's maybe one of the greatest 2-3 catchers in the history of baseball, when he was 8 years old, came up to my father, who was a great player in the 40s and 50s, and put his finger on his shirt and said, I'm going to do what you're doing someday. How about that? Bench told me that in the golf course one day. I was thinking, That's cool of him to share that. So. Way to go, Mom. What's your mom's name?
Diane.
Way to go, Diane.
You know, a good friend of ours has put together or gotten behind a lot of public service announcements on TV that promote different values and Foundation for Better Life, which is just a great organization. And they've actually got a spot with a mom that's out there, and it's a great little spot. And Mom's out there. She's trying to help her son throw the ball, and, of course, he throws it kind of like out totally at a 45-degree angle. And then she's on the tennis courts, and she's trying to get him to hit the ball. And, I mean, the kid, you know, he can't do any of this. And they go through about three or four sports, and it's obvious that, you know, the son just – that's not his thing. And then the next shot, they've got him, show him in a choir. Mm-hmm. It's like what you're saying, singing, and it's kind of like, boom, you know, he discovers this is, you know, really what, you know, where he fits in the mix of things. And so it's very cool because, I mean, things like that really can change your life. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, let's jump to when you fell in love and got married then.
Well, that's an easy one. You know, when that love at first sight stuff you hear, it's all that doesn't happen. It definitely happened to me. I was
me too. It just didn't happen to my wife. I had to work at it for a few months.
On the same way, I guess about eight years ago, I'm in Denver, and I'm working for an organization called Leaders Challenge, which is a high school leadership program. I met Jerry Middle and Paul Owens, a high school leadership program I started 10 years ago, and so I was living in Denver. And I do public speaking, so I was speaking at a fundraiser for The Gathering Place, which is a homeless shelter for women. It's a phenomenal program. And it was around Christmas time, and I was the keynote speaker, walking in, you know, usually 15 minutes late and not knowing about the organization, so doing a crash course. Well, okay, what's this organization about? Because I'm about to speak to the audience. And so I went to the volunteer desk, and there was a cute girl with long brown hair. And
now you were 45 minutes late.
Yeah. So I obviously there's about four or five girls, so I picked the cutest one since I was single and started talking to a girl named Jill. And 5 minutes later, I was in the bathroom with my buddy, and it said, you know that girl at the information desk downstairs? And my buddy Joel says, yeah. He goes, I'm going to marry that girl. Mm. I knew within a second meeting her, I wanted to marry. She was just the most warm, genuine, loving, soft. My RPMs run 1,000 miles per hour, and she was the first woman that ever, when I met her, just...
Got you under 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Turns out that I found out she was divorced after that. Later on that night, I knew someone that knew her, and I did some information that night, and she was divorced with a kid. And I got to tell you, I had this whole list of what I wanted in a spouse, because I was 35 at the time. And, you know, marrying a woman that was divorced with a kid wasn't on my top 10 list. But it's amazing how God works. He just put her in my life, and I knew right away. She could have told me, you know, that she had herpes simplex 10. I would have still married her. I mean, divorce with the kid wasn't on my list, but when I met her and I met him and the son, it was just a great thing.
How old was your son?
He was two. He was a 2-year-old. He was my stepson. Now he's not. Now he's 10, but he was two. But
that's good how God does that. If you don't believe it, folks, just notice all day long, every day, not just in this area, that God's whispering to you if you just listen. We're moving so fast, like you say, that we don't hear the screams, much less the whispers, but it's all coming at us all day, I believe. Do you, Bob?
I like the idea. I always think about the concept of him orchestrating the circumstances of our life, and we aren't aware of it, you know, but again, it's kind of like, you could have walked by another desk, another, you know, someone else could have been sitting there. But the reality is kind of that the circumstances can be orchestrated. And
it's not predestination. I'm not even sure predetermination. But it is the hidden hand at work, if you see it that way, kind of saying, hey, you might want to look twice at the stoplight, which my wife did not too long ago when the light turned green. And for some reason, she just checked. Stop again, and here comes a truck, a big truck, just plows right through the intersection at about 40 miles an hour, where she'd have been sitting if she hadn't, for some reason, that moment looked an extra couple seconds to her left. So glad you looked at that table.
Yeah.
And it seems to have worked out well.
It did. It did.
And you guys were both in Christ by then and full speed in your faith.
Yeah. Well, she was definitely, and I met a man named Jerry Middle, who you know, a couple of years before. I grew up Catholic, and not to offend any Catholics that are listening to the radio station, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. I just regurgitated prayer and went to Catholic school and did what my mother told me and lived in fear. And after meeting Jerry Middle, I became a Christian. And I wanted to get married, and I was dating all these types of girls. And every time I'd have a girlfriend, Jerry would hold up how many fingers, and that would be how many weeks he thought I'd last with the girl. You know, he'd call me the Baskin-Robbins boy, you know, just, you know.
Out of way, Jerry.
You know, 46 flavors, whatever.
He cared enough about you to
speak
truth
into
your
life. But he said that God's going to put the right women in my life when I clean up my act and then also make it really clear. So when I met Jill, I knew right away. But, you know, I'll tell the story later on in the show, but Jill had an ex-husband that was definitely a problem at the time. A lot of anger, a lot of jealousy, and the divorce was bad. And I'd like to share that testimony about where our relationship is now, you know, 8 years later. But it's amazing how God works.
Yeah, it is. I like the way the hidden hand keeps working, even when we don't know exactly what he's up to. So do we want to jump in on the fact that not only are you a speaker now, but you're an author, and you've got some material out there that folks need to hear about?
Okay. Well, remember the organization Up With People I told you about that changed my life? Well, about 15 years later, after doing numerous different things, I got a phone call from the founder of Up With People. I've been not really involved in the organization for 15 years, but the founder was retiring after running Up With People for 50 years and moving on and looking for a successor. And I got a phone call from him. I knew him, obviously, through, you know, Up With People functions, but he basically picked me as his successor. So I ran Up With People for the last 4.5 years as a CEO and president of the whole worldwide organization. It was an incredible experience running the organization that changed my life. But it was tough because I was traveling all over the world, and it was really hard on a young family. We have three kids now. And we brought in a guy named Ken Blanchard to be a keynote speaker at one of our big fundraising events. You know Ken Blanchard, the one-minute manager, incredible Christian man. Well, he came in, and he was the keynote speaker, and I introduced him and spoke for about half an hour about Up With People. And after the Other People fundraiser event, he walked right up to me, and this is 2 years ago, and said, I think Up With People is a great organization, but you're in the wrong field. And I said, what are you talking about, Mr. Blanchard? He said, you're the most inspiring speaker I've seen in 20 years. He goes, you need to be in the speaking circuit. You're incredible. I thought he was laughing, but he gave me his business card. We played golf at Castle Pines the next day and drove him to the airport. And he said, I'm serious if you want me to introduce him to my agent and so forth. But so within a month later, I resigned from Other People. I got a book deal from Random House. I'm on the speaking circuit. He forwarded my book, and I'm pretty blessed to have met that man. He's one of the most amazing Christian men, because he wasn't always a Christian and recently became one. And he started an organization called Lead Like Jesus, which I'm now on his national board of directors, which is about getting business leaders around the world to take Christ and lead like him. If you go to the Ken Blanchard Ork Companies, he's got 350 employees in San Diego, huge high-rise building. You walk right in the lobby. There's the size of a Toyota Sequoia, a huge bronze statue of Jesus Christ on his knees, watching his disciples, you know, watching the feet of his disciples, and servant leadership. And that's what I speak about, servant leadership. That's what I write about. That's what my book's all about, servant leadership.
Tell us about your book then, more specifically.
The book's called It's Not Just Who You Know, and it's about why we should build genuine, authentic relationships with customers, clients, employees, friends, people. The book was inspired. When I was a young kid, I couldn't read. My dad read to me at night, and the book he read to me was called Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends, Influence People. It was the first book that I ever read. My dad read to me, and I read that book over and over, and I took to it because because my grades were so hard, and I struggled so hard and academically. He really wanted me to work on my social skills, and even at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, I was class president, junior high school, college. I mean, just a natural born leader because I took that book to heart, you know, really building relationships and speaking about other people's interests and using people's names and all those things that Dale Carnegie told me to do in the book. I lived it. But as I became older, more mature, and was in business and nonprofit and started looking back at the book, I realized as much as that's such a masterpiece, it's a little shallow, the book. Because Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, if you really read it, it's really about how to influence people to get people to do things for you. you know, how to influence people and how to make friends to influence you. And I looked at my life, and all the blessings in my entire life is when I served others. And when I built relationships, not for my gain, but for other people's gains, that's when all the things, that's when I got the $1 million donation of the people, or the book deal, or everything in my life, or in my life that God put in my life. It wasn't when I was serving others. It wasn't influencing and networking with people so they can help me. It was when I was meeting people to help them.
And people can feel that too, when you're all about yourself or you're all about them. And poor taste. It's rude. It's, the other guy's got an IQ at all. You can feel it and smell it and taste it. And it's like almost repelling.
Yeah.
So it's good you saw the difference there.
Yeah. And that difference changed my life. So the book is actually a business book. It's Random House. And it's a book that really teaches CEOs, managers, organization leaders, church leaders, nonprofit leaders, how to transform your organization, where you can build really what I call fifth floor. There's five levels of relationships I talk about in the book. Most people live on the second or third floor of relationships, what I call NSW relationships, new sports weather. You just talk about surface stuff. But to build really deep.
Focus our show on, by the way.
Yeah, right. Bo, you live this book. Yeah. But to really build deep, meaningful, lifelong customers and relationships with clients and people, you have to have fifth floor relationships, which is, you know, serving and vulnerability and honesty and transparency and those things.
So how can people get the book, and how can people get in touch with your agent and bring in the greatest speaker out there into their arena to speak?
Well, my book comes out August 10th. It's going to be in every bookstore in America. Matter of fact, Barnes & Noble just informed my agent last week that it's going to be on every New Arrivals shelf in every Barnes & Noble for the first 3 weeks of the launch. So just go to the New Arrivals shelf. It's going to be in every Borders bookstores, Barnes & Nobles throughout the country. And my website is www.tommyspalding.com. And there's information there how to contact my agent. And I'm on a 50-city book tour starting next month. Promoting the book, speaking around the country to companies, churches, nonprofits. I just keynote the YMCA annual conference last week in Salt Lake City, which was incredible. So I love really speaking about the reason why we should build these types of relationships and organizations, and how organizations can change the world one person at a time. And the book's full of stories about how I've met random people, the bartender, the Japanese farmer, the handicapped student in my freshman class, all these people in my life, how they changed my life. God put these people in my life and changed my life. And I think most people look at people and, you know, they look at who has influence, who has power. Let me go, you know, suck up to them and get to know them. But the most random people in my life, I mean, literally the most random people have transformed my life and made a huge difference professionally and personally.
This guy across the table from you has written 14 books now, which is more.
They've never put me on a national tour, by the way.
You've done.
You're not that crazy.
My most recent article was on what it feels like to be an unknown author.
You know, just the discipline.
You'll actually have people buy your book when you go to do book signings.
Don't be too humble there. Your books touched many lives, including us sitting in this room. So congratulations to both of you guys. That's an organized mind inspired by the Holy Spirit that can put together a book like all those books you guys have written. So congratulations on seeking the Lord's will on this and tapping into what he has for you and following through, because it sounds like you're in for another explosion burst here as soon as this book's released.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited about it.
Is it embarrassing at all to think, wow, I'm going to be out there?
It's really humbling, actually, and
that was the word I meant.
Yeah, it's definitely humbling. But the greatest part so far is I sent my dad a copy of the galley copy. You know, the real book isn't done till next month, but I dedicated the book to him, because when all the teachers didn't think I'd make it, and all the people, all the critics, my dad was the one that really said that I was gonna make a difference in the world. And so I dedicated the book to him, and I sent it to him, and he called me, and he was speechless. And if I sell 3 books, it doesn't matter. The book is done. I blessed him. Wow. That's been the most important part.
Good attitude, and anything you get. How the heck did that get on? And my wife called right during the program. Was that calling Joe, maybe? How would you close, Bob, just to inspire people that are listening and may wonder, am I ever going to catch a break like that? Because,
well, you know, again, the first thing that pops into my mind is the most important thing in life really is, you know, to have that kind of a love relationship, deep, you know, level five that you're talking about with God himself. And when Jesus kind of gives us this, you know, the formula that maybe wasn't, you know, like you're saying, not quite what maybe Carnegie totally got a handle on, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, it, you know, you might not be on a book tour, you might not have a book published, but you can have the, you know, the most fantastic life possible, exactly what you were designed to do and created by God to do, if you'd kind of keep that in focus. Seek first the kingdom, keep him number one, and let him, you know, orchestrate your life in the way that he has Tommy's. And you're a great example of that.
Thank you.
And thanks to Jerry Middle and Paul Lewan for introducing us to Tommy Spaulding. Yeah. Tell us how we can get that book again. It's coming out everywhere.
Yeah,
what date?
August 10th, bookstores everywhere. And then my website's Tommy Spaulding, SPAULDING.com.
And if anyone's interested in my books, I have a few in the garage. And
just call me.
Just kind of call Bo, and we can get you one.
We'll bring them over, actually, wherever you are. Thanks, Lori. You are beautiful. And Tommy, you've been a great guest.
Thanks for coming, Tommy.
Yeah, thank you.
See you all next week right here on KOA. Blessings.
Baby, you